In memory of Sean and Caleb. Introduction. At more than 3 million copies sold, the Seattle band Pearl Jam's debut, 10, was the top-selling rock album of 1992, a complete disaster. With any more popularity, fretted lead singer Eddie Vedder, we were going to be crushed, or our heads were going to pop like grapes. He started wearing a helmet everywhere. The trouble began earlier in the year when MTV put the band's videos into heavy rotation. An invitation soon followed to join the second ever Lollapalooza tour, a traveling carnival of alternative music and freak shows that evangelized suburban teens on the joys of mosh pits, body piercing, psychedelic drugs, and left-leaning politics. Pearl Jam eagerly took an early slot on the bill. "I plan to bring my Polaroid camera and hang out just talking to the crowd," Vedder told Spin. "It's like putting a finger on the pulse of what young America's doing." Then came the video for their third single, Jeremy, a song about an alienated teen who commits suicide at school. This scathing critique of conformist mainstream American culture became an unlikely pop sensation, and after MTV aired it nearly hourly, 10 shot to number 2 on the Billboard charts. At each stop on the tour, throngs of enthusiastic fans stormed Lollapalooza's gates to secure spots for Pearl Jam's daytime set. Most bands would have celebrated the moment, but Pearl Jam were rooted in a punk ethos that valued artistry and community over revenue and renown. Like many other musicians at the time, they feared being labeled sellouts, artists who watered down their creative vision for mainstream appeal. As critic Chuck Klosterman explained in The 90s, the concept of selling out and the degree to which that notion altered the meaning and perception of almost everything is the single most 90s aspect of the 90s. Earlier in 1992, Kurt Cobain of Nirvana derided Pearl Jam as corporate puppets trying to jump on the alternative bandwagon, and with every additional copy of 10 sold, the criticism stung harder. Tormented by success, Pearl Jam made a firm decision. They would no longer produce music videos, and they turned down interviews and photo shoots. Pearl Jam stood athwart popularity, yelling stop. During recording sessions for Pearl Jam's follow-up album, producer Brendan O'Brien told Vedder that his new composition, Better Man, would be a surefire hit. "I immediately knew I'd just said the wrong thing," recalled O'Brien. Vedder promptly cut the song from consideration. Yet their second album, Versus, released on October 19, 1993, without radio-friendly singles or promotional videos, broke records for first-week album sales. Kids flocked to midnight release parties, smashing record store windows in their excitement. Pearl Jam's principled stand resonated with their fans. If rock bands were so desperate for money, they might as well be bankers. Lollapalooza remained an important cultural institution in the 21st century, though reimagined as an annual multi-day festival at Chicago's Grant Park. At the 2022 event, exactly 30 years after Pearl Jam joined the tour, rapper Lil Baby headlined the Bud Light Seltzer stage on day one, and pop star Dua Lipa wrapped up day two on the T-Mobile stage. The closer on the Tito's Handmade Vodka stage was the 60-year-old electronic dance music producer David Solomon, also known as DJ D-Sol. Though only 3 years older than Eddie Vedder, Solomon had little allegiance to the punk ethos. He spent his college days as a rugby-playing frat bro and only discovered electronic dance music in his early 50s. Solomon's professional resume was more impressive than his discography. He had worked in Bear Stearns' junk bond division, helped secure Lululemon's IPO, and was now CEO of Goldman Sachs. He arrived in Chicago on Goldman's Gulfstream G650, met clients in the morning, and later that night spun remixes of ABBA, Walk the Moon, and Queen for a sea of sports jerseys craving mindless clubbing. Electronic dance music originated in a small Detroit circle of black futurist teens in the 1980s. By the 2010s, it was the soundtrack for bachelor parties at Las Vegas mega clubs. So there was nothing shocking about a suit like David Solomon learning to DJ. But his invitation to Lollapalooza, alongside the world's top pop stars, was astonishing. He wasn't even a sellout. He was the living embodiment of financial capital itself. This